Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola here, Stephen Labadie over there, Derek Brandeo there, and Sam McKee over here.
Yep.
There, on the other side there.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I love how you point. That's the funniest thing for me because
Why?
It's radio. They
I'm
can't see.
I'm a visual kind of guy.
Yeah, but no one can see you
point. It
doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter. I give it all the time. Whether you can see me or not, I'm giving you 100%, and that includes hand gestures.
So basically, when
I don't
you call me,
I don't chintz out just because we're on radio.
So when you call me from your office, you point towards where I am.
Absolutely.
Come see me.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I give you it's the whole package, buddy. Speaking of packages, that music sounds familiar.
Yes.
Could it be that we have the legendary Keith Beasley on the line with us? Because I'm starting to wonder whether he's real or not, because the only time I can talk to him is on this show, and that's it. So I'm questioning the whole Keith Beasley persona. Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, imagine what hand gesture you're making when you say my name.
He's there! Keith Beasley, of course, of Canada in the Rough fame. That was the music you were listening to. Of course, if you're a weekend television viewer, outdoor programming, you are very familiar with that sound. Keith and his brothers have been on the air entertaining Canadians and Americans, by the way, on their wonderful outdoor experiences. All right, so you're back from a hunt, is that what I heard? Or are you going on a hunt?
Yeah, no, we're back. I mean, June finished off the spring run, and July there's not a lot of hunting in Canada, so it's kind of a nice time. I'm actually watching my 3 and 6-year-old throw rocks into a pond. We're out on a little ATV ride this morning, just the two of us, or three of us.
Nice.
And we stopped where I get service, and they're throwing rocks into a small pond right now. So it's kind of a cool, beautiful morning, and fun watching them here.
A great moment. It sounds simple, and people might be scratching their head saying, so what? You're throwing rocks in a pond. What's the big deal? Unless you are there where he is right now, doing what he's doing right now, you have no idea how rewarding it is just to be able to take kids into an outback area, a wilderness area, and have them do stuff like that. Stuff that
we ask me all week. That's what they ask me all week. When can we go on the four-wheeler and out in the woods? So it's kind of a neat feeling to be able to do that stuff with them. And then my older son, last night, he wanted to introduce some of his buddies to archery shooting and some gun shooting. So we brought them out and had some fun with them. So I don't know. It's pretty rewarding. You're right on. I don't know. It's like taking a kid fishing for the first time or the 100th time. It doesn't get old.
Why don't you take him to the mall, Steve or Keith? Why don't you go to the shopping center?
Mall,
because Stephen wouldn't like my hand gestures in there.
I don't like going to the mall either, so I'm with you, Keith.
All right, Keith, I have to ask you a question. I was reading the paper a few days ago, and I found it a little amusing. Anyways, there was an article about somebody in Laval, Quebec, that saw a wild turkey. And they had no idea what it was. This great big, apparently it was huge too. And of course, they're not the prettiest looking things in the world. Let's be perfectly honest. And when you got one like face to face, it would tend to, if you'd never seen one before, it would scare the hell out of you. But the interesting part about the story, it went on to say how folks in that part of the province, in Quebec in general, are just starting to notice wild turkeys. Is this sort of a bleed off from the whole Ontario program that it was initiated, I don't know, 3 decades ago? So are they starting to move that far east?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't want to discredit Ontario, but other places have taken the initiative too. So like we went and did the inaugural release of turkeys in New Brunswick 5-6 years ago. New Brunswick did a release and they did a reintroduction program. We were there for that and it was pretty tremendous. And they're hoping to have a season soon. That's how well it's doing. So, no, it's they do spread, for sure. I mean, and it could be from Ontario, it could be from New Brunswick, it could be from the south. But they cover a lot of ground. I mean, I'm evidence of the Ontario program here in Peterborough, where the reintroduction didn't start, but around the area, we didn't have them here. We had them, we had to drive 40, 50 minutes when we started hunting turkeys, sometimes an hour, and now we have them right at our office, beside. Yeah, so...
They're everywhere.
It's changed a lot. And it wasn't because they were reintroduced by my office. They've came that 50, 80 kilometers from where we used to have to travel just every year, growing a little bit.
I've been down in the Long Sault area, along the St. Lawrence River. I'm amazed at the number of turkeys that are along that corridor. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and if we have some decent winters and not too much snow, they can really do well. Those hens will have 12 to 18 months a year, and if predation's not bad, they can really really repopulate quite quickly. So nice to see.
So you're safe to say you're at the sort of that little bit of a lull in your shooting schedule. You start fall. Obviously, fall is the big hunting season for you guys.
That's right. Yeah, we're in a lull. We'll pick up again the end of August. We got a velvet mule deer archery tag in Alberta, so the end of August, Kevin will head that way, and shortly thereafter, Paul will be after elk and moose and Alberta, and then I'll be in New Brunswick for an early moose season, and just carry there. Then the Ontario stuff really ramps up in over November.
Tell folks where they can watch the program.
Yeah, thank you. Sunday mornings, 8:30 on City TV, and it's on there every Sunday morning, 52 weeks a year, and it's time shifted, so wherever they are. And there's six other networks in Canada that carry it, one being French and TVA, but Sportsman's Canada. I think you guys are on there on the newly formed Sportsman Canada, so that's a nice spot too, because it rotates a few other times and get some weekday times in there too, where people can catch the program. So.
Cool, man. All right, so now that you're in this slow period, I'm assuming you're spending more time on the water.
Yeah, so this is, you know how it goes. I mean, lucky for us, it jives with when the kids are off. So first week of July, I took off and went to Temagami, an old spot up there that we have very kind friends that let us stay at a cottage. And you remember you've been on the water up near that area before. And we literally just fished. Tubed, boated, swam, and cliff jumped for a week, and it was amazing. Shut my phone off, and it's smallmouth water up there and walleye, and we had a riot. So right down to the 3-year-old to the 12-year-old, we caught a lot of fish and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing like it at all, regardless of where you take them. If you take them outdoors, if you spend time with them, you know, like you just said, throwing rocks in a puddle, in a pond. I mean, how basic does it have to get? It is absolutely an incredible experience.
Well, you know what's cool? This pond, it's under I don't know, probably a quarter of an acre. It's not big enough. When my 6-year-old was 3, so my little guy, my littlest one here, we had a pond drying up in the area. So we caught minnows out of it and the frogs in a pail, and we brought them 2 miles down the road to here. And he was affected by that, like whether it's allowed or not. The other pond was, everything was dying. So we put them in this one. And he still remembers. He asks me all the time to come here because he wants to see the fruits of his labor. He likes to come back and know that he was part of helping those frogs and minnows. So it's a big, big spot. And now he's down there yelling at me to come down and see. But it's all part of an ant. And taking a fishing last week, I can't even tell you. And I think since I spoke to you last, my 12-year-old came on his first bear hunter, first can rough trip with us as part of a hunting crew. And
how was that?
Up north. I don't want to have words. It was Dog Lake Resort, northern Ontario, so 45 minutes north of Thunder Bay. Remote, as in the wilderness is remote, but 45 minutes from Thunder Bay. So you can imagine how close to civilization, but yet in the middle of nowhere, 18-mile lake, and we walleye fished and bear hunting, and I watched my little boy shoot the first bear with crossbow, and I don't have words for you. Like, I know you've done it with Nick, and he's been there, but wow. I don't have words. I've been part of hunts with him, but to have him on the professional side of with me, where we're out to get a job done, we're filming, he's part of me every day, the grind, the bed at midnight, the up early to go scout, and then to watch him put a well-placed arrow he's practiced for many years to do, and walk to a bear, and big hug, and you know, stuff that you can't buy. You really can. It was emotions that pretty proud to be part of. So yeah, it's been a spectacular spring, and it's a start to summer. So pretty happy about it.
And I'm glad you went that direction and talked about that, because people don't realize that you know. Yes, absolutely. Outdoors. Of folks, and we do use the resources, no question about it, whether it's fishing or hunting, we use the resource. But there is not a greater group of people that are big in the conservation of that resource than a hunter or an angler. And most of the reasons are quite selfish, I'll be honest with you. It's for moments like Keith just articulated to us is for those moments where you could share it with somebody, and the emotional high you get from that are just beyond words.
You can cut me off. I know you're always on a schedule and it's tight, but I got an email from a very, very upset viewer not long ago. We went on a bear hunt, we shot something, and he wrote an email that was so long and so harsh and so terrible about what kind of human beings we were that I actually, instead of responding to it, I actually called him. He put his phone number in and I phoned him. He went up one side of me down there for 5 minutes about what animals we are in 2019. You know what? I hunted back in the day, he said to quote him. But we've changed, and this is 2019, and this is disgusting, and we don't need this. And I said, you know, I heard him out, and I said, let me just ask you quickly. Do you eat meat? Yes, but I eat domestic meat, so that's different. I said, okay, so you don't buy your life the same. Domestic animals you'll eat, but wild ones, that's fine. But I told him the story of my boy, and I said, he's prepared for years. He's trained, he studied, he took a 17-hour course, he passed it, he spent hundreds of hours practicing. We went in the woods together, and when we were finished, he looked up to me with a hug and crying and hugged me and said, Dad, this is the greatest day of my life. Thank you so much for bringing me in the woods and teaching me. Literally, like, word for word is what he did. And I explained that to him. I said, you tell me that that kid's a bad kid. Tell me that he did something wrong, or me as a father, that I just shared a moment with him that's wrong. I said, your grandfather, my grandfather, back to when he believed in evolution or Adam and Eve, have done this. Why in 2019, when it's more managed than ever, and all the hunting dollars that go into it, why are we bad people for sharing that moment and taking under 1% of the bear population in Ontario this year? Well under 1%. It's really, the numbers, they don't have it fat, but it's well under that. So
did he have an
answer? He actually changed his mind a little bit. He actually changed his mind. I've never had one of them change their mind. He said, Keith, that's a perspective I didn't think about, and you ate it with your family, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm not telling you that because it was a victory. I tell you that because it's perspective. This isn't a bad thing when done right. Poaching and Disney portrays it as bad, but when we manage under 1% of the population through hunting to help it, it really does help it, whether people want to agree with it or not. Anyway, and at the end of the day, we're eating bear sausage and bear chops and bear steaks this winter. And that kid is so proud every time we put meat on the table that he provided. I kid you not. He knows we can afford to go to the grocery store. He's aware of that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, so we're very grateful. We're very grateful for you guys for supporting our show, for the viewers out there watching. We're the only all-hunting show left on national television, and it's because people are giving it a bad name. And instead, we're trying to celebrate and take back a hunting heritage that we're very proud of and want to share with people. And that's what I said, and we're trying to educate how to do it right, how to conserve, and how to take ethical moral shots. And so, anyway.
Hats off to you for that comment, my friend. Appreciate that. Before I let you go, I just quickly wanted to, and it's kind of in the same vein. I know that there's a review underway for moose management in Ontario. The Big Game Advisory Committee will be making recommendations to Minister Jakubowski shortly, I understand. Have you been on top of this thing? Have you kept yourself abreast of it?
We try to keep ourselves abreast, but I wish we could sit at a table with everybody. We don't have all the answers for sure, but there's definitely answers that are better than it's been. Moose in Ontario is not in good shape right now. And it's a tough conversation. I have some good answers to it, I think. But number one, every hunter that buys a tag should not be given a calf tag. That's rule number one. Management 101. That's like asking everybody on a lake to pull a 1-pound walleye out and keep it. It just doesn't work, and that makes no sense to me. Alberta, tremendous, tremendous program. It's a draw process. It takes 11 years to draw a bull tag. But if you're in a group of 15 like Ontario does, your group will always have one tag a year through the process. But you know, right now, 15 guys are hunting on their bay right now and not have anywhere to go, but they'll take 10 calf tags up with them. That makes zero sense. Zero sense. I'm not anti-government. I'm not anti-ministry. I'm very pro, and I love and appreciate all that they do. But at the end of the day, some lack of funding and lack of, I think, understanding and knowledge of a program is hurting our moose populations. And you couple that with a bad winter or overkill in some areas through other methods, it turns into a bit of a problem. But we have lots of moose and healthy moose. We just need to manage it.
Do you think that part of this program, this game advisory committee that is looking at, do you think it is? Do you think there is a possibility of this automatic calf tag thing going by the wayside?
I do. Yeah, and I hope, because it's been around too long and it just doesn't work. Because what happens is hunters have to manage themselves, which we do. But when a group's gone up and spent all that money and five new guys have never shot a moose core all through the path, that cripples an area for the next 10 years. So rather than leaving it in the hunter's hands of the side, the ministry can handle this. And giving a group of 15, no matter where they go in the right managed area, an adult tag is not a bad program. And anyway, there's lots of ways to do it to level it out and even it out. But this moose is a tremendous asset and a resource to Ontario. We need to care for it tremendously and look after it because it can be hurt and hurt for a long time.
And that's coming out of a hunter's mouth, for those of you listening. Fantastic. But always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend. I don't want to keep you any longer. You got some great moments that you're missing out on right now in the backdrop there. I urge folks to check in to the Beasley Brothers production. It's called Canada in the Rough. It's on City TV, 8:30 every Sunday morning, and then it repeats throughout the week. So check them out. My friend, you have yourself a good one.
I want to say bye. Thanks,
bye,
guys.
Bye, guys. Have fun. Keith Beasley, Canada in the Rough. That's it for us, too. We got to go. They've got the hook here. They're ushering me out of the studio. On behalf of the entire ODJ radio crew, Stephen Labadie behind the glass, our roving producer, Jonathan Winters, Derek Brandale, Sam McGee, I'm Angelo Biola saying have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday.